Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Reporter. And joining us today is John Bordnick, CEO of JBI Incorporated. The company trades on the bulletin board, and the ticker symbol is JBII. Thanks for joining us today, John.
Thanks for inviting me.
Great. Anytime. Now, start off by bringing us up to speed on the recent company developments, including your product line and of eco-friendly products.
Sure. Okay. We've only been trading for about 6 months. We're a fully reporting company on the we're just visiting the OTCBB exchange. Everyone has to start somewhere for us. It was the OTC. We are a green company that essentially commercializes disruptive technologies that we mine or develop internally into niche markets with low barriers of entry and then exponential growth. Since we only brought this company public about 6 months ago, and in that time amassed four operating entities. We have about $10 million in revenue now, $22 million in assets. In that time, put together a proven management team. We have 90 employees. We were managing this growth, and all without diluting the existing shareholders while maintaining control. We have validation from a number of sources. We're sole sourced by NASA for our tape reading business. Our P2O fuels are ASTM certified by a national lab for our plastics oil division. Our packet products are used by many big box retailers to clean their own stores like Home Depot. And in the past 6 months, I've returned 22 million shares to the Treasury and returned many more. And in the end, we're setting up a value-based management here the way it should be in every company, which is basically we don't get paid unless the shareholders gain value. And so far in the last 6 months, we've executed 10 out of 10 times perfectly. That's about
well, good. And so, yeah, what are some of the synergies between some of the products and services?
Sure, okay. Well, from our operating division, I mean, personally, the word synergies is an ugly word. Anytime I hear companies use that word, I short the stock because our acquisitions aren't based solely on synergies. So we make acquisitions based on the barriers to entry or the costs would be, if they're too high, if we were to build the entire business ourselves. But I'll talk about our various divisions and how we came to acquire them. We acquired Packet in September, which has patents and know-hows that basically we're a very high barrier to entry. It's a water-soluble cleaning solution that's distributed, in a water-soluble pack. And so essentially we can ship a large amount of chemicals or cleaning chemicals for a very low cost through very high formulations or very high concentrations into that packet. We acquired Javico as well, which has excellent communications know-how and strong ties to Latin America and South America with offices in Mexico. And Javico is our fastest way to get our processors, our plastic oil processors, into Mexico. For the packet division, which is essentially the water-soluble cleaning, it also has a bulk chemical mixing facility, and we're using that to actually mix and distribute the catalyst for the plastic to oil. So, you know, as you can tell, the wholly owned companies have direct synergies to our business plan, but we really acquired them because of their value and the high barriers of entry if we had to build those businesses from the ground up. I can get into the operating businesses, the cash operating business, if you like. I can go down that line if you like to explain each one.
Yeah, certainly, and that was a good answer regarding the business model.
Okay, well, the three cash operating businesses are the data migration business. In that business alone, that's what started this company off in April. Essentially, I designed and developed tape drives to read legacy media. Original equipment is useless to read the old media. In the end, the client gets a lot of errors, missing data, and damaged tapes back. NASA sole sourced us to read their tapes, and we're reading seismic data for big oil and gas now. We've also read thousands of MIT tapes. I've expanded that particular division into fish and microfilm, and we're doing that for both NASA and oil and gas. It really validates what we do. It's highly profitable, and we built our research archive from it. We have the largest engineering research archive on the planet. Because I was out buying all sorts of recycled tape and old tape archives back just prior to the Y2K tech bubble. So that's basically how we got our engineering archive. To go on to the next division, which is Packet, it's simply amazing. Again, it's the water-soluble cleaning solutions. We ship Home Depot stores all the chemicals they need to clean an entire store in a small box versus pallets of chemicals shipped for proportionate systems or bulk cleaners. We're 30 to 50% cheaper. We clean better. It's green, and many of the big box retailers and the BSCs are using our products. We have 41% revenue growth over last year in that business alone. We've opened the Canadian market now. We've started manufacturing in Canada, and we're going to retail with infomercials, ads, and retail store space. Packet has bulk processing facilities again to do mix the catalyst. And our team up here in Canada is actually injecting the automation into the Packet facility in Philadelphia and as well here. The Packet and P2O niche markets actually offer quite a goldmine business plan to us. They both have shared fixed costs. We can realize economies of scale and scope. And we have predictable revenue and exponential growth. For P2O, which is one division I haven't talked yet, which is probably the biggest home run of our company, is really, in addition to the fixed costs and the clustering capabilities, we have in-house a catalyst, which is key. So the catalyst that's now been optimized and developed here, it basically allows us to convert waste unwashed plastics to fuel. It's a low initial cost per machine, so each processor is around $80,000. It can process about 20 metric tons of mixed plastics every day. It works out to about 125 barrels a day. And at the West, you know, at the WTI, I think it's about $71 a barrel right now today. We clear $68 with delivery charges in, and that clears about $2.2 million per site. We're doing that business plan on a massive land rush with our management team, which is good at high growth models. So our plan is to launch 2,500 sites over the next few years. This doesn't include the best scenario, which is really installing a cluster of processors into an oil tanker. Our greatest barrier at this time is how to deal with the 35% tax that we're going to be having to deal with on the plastic to oil side. So we're working on that now.
Well, great. And so who are some of your key competitors and what makes your company unique from some of the other players in your sector?
Okay, well, in several things. So in the data migration field, you have the mom-and-pop operators with the off-the-shelf drives. We're slowly driving them out. And, again, being sole sourced by NASA opens a lot of doors for us. So there isn't a lot of competition in the tape industry. For Packet, because we own the patent, there isn't anyone that can distribute chemicals in a water-soluble pack with a liquid. That's something that's us. Our competitors there are obviously Procter & Gamble and Johnson Diversity. We are displacing their systems in the big box retailers, so that says something about our product, and we'll continue to grow that business. In the plastic to oil, there have been plastic to oil attempts over a number of years, but without a catalyst, their business model is doomed to bankruptcy. The catalyst really is what allows us to efficiently convert the plastic to fuel. We get a 15% propane byproduct, which goes back into fuel the process, and we don't have huge pollution problems that the other sites would have. Therefore, we don't really have competitors in the plastic to oil business. We're specifically looking at a land rush. So it's more along the lines of how quickly can we get the individual sites financed with state and tax credits to roll out as many as we can.
John?
Yeah, yes.
Perhaps you could walk us through, I think it cut out for a sec, perhaps you can walk us through your background and experience as well as that of some of the key management team at JBI.
Okay. Well, our key management, we acquired most of our key management through the Packet acquisition. That was key to it. Robert Shoemaker has been a banker for many years. He grew a merchant bank in Florida from one branch to 10 branches before it was sold. Jeff Weber is our deal guru. He has audit experience at Deloitte and up, so he is an auditor. Dick Haber is counsel to the company, so he's helping us quite a bit. As far as myself, my background is it's quite a lengthy background. I was at the legislature for 10 years in research and development. I then went out after that in the year 2000, as I said, to go out and buy tape archives. I was restoring a lot of the old computers for the founders of big software and hardware companies. I was then asked to recover the holy grail of software, which was saved on tapes from Harvard from 1975. When I recovered that, it gave us validation. We went on to read MIT tapes, and then now it's been NASA and now oil and gas. So I've been primarily involved myself with hardware engineering and growing the tape business. We have been organically growing to a certain point, but now we're in exponential growth, so it's a whole new business model, and that's why I need a new business management team.
And so what are some of the goals that the team wants to accomplish here over the course of the next 12 months?
Well, the next 12 months really are P2Os in third-party validation. Validation is probably a bad word to use here. What it means is they're putting together all of the analytical data so that our processors can be rolled out as quickly as possible worldwide with the most possible information available for permitting. So really our plan is simultaneously we're locking up now JVs, plastic sources, and roll out a series of plastic to oil processors in large municipalities with proven business operators to grow that business. That by far is our home run. The rest of the businesses are doing quite well on their own. For Packet, rolling it out in a retail forum, Canada, big box, we want to see that happen in 2010. The tape business, it's taking a life of its own. It's gone into feature and film. We've come into a whole, as you would say, an information migration company with not only reading the media, but now we have a software that actually preserves it and makes it available in a modern format. So we're growing with oil and gas and some other big companies. So all the units are growing fairly nicely, but plastic toil really is what we're going to be focusing on in 2010.
Great. Now, the company recently announced some of your conference call with shareholder details, and you also reduced your outstanding common shares by 12 million. So in terms of investors, do you believe that the company's investment story and upside potential are completely understood and appreciated by the financial community?
Well, I think it takes some time to get around and understand why we acquired which entities, what we did, and I think I've explained what to use the word synergies, why we did what we did. I think the shareholders certainly see that I'm committed to shareholder value. That's what's key at the end of the day. They drive us and make us go. I'm only compensated if the company does well, and I've returned 22 million shares to date, and over the next few months, it's fair to say I'll be returning the rest. In the end, we're putting in together a value-based management model where it'll be based on a couple of percent of EBITDA, and that's what management will end up taking home. So our gains are really based on the shareholder gains.
So what do you believe is missing from your investment story, or what do you think that investors better understood would result in a higher valuation of the stock?
Well, what's missing in our story is no one knows about us. We haven't paid promoters. We haven't gone out on an advertising blitz. We've been basically trading on word of mouth. I think you know when they consider our progress and track record, more and more investors are coming up to date. But the plastic to oil and the joint venture rollouts, that'll certainly drive the stock. It's certainly getting funds' attention now, and that I think will drive the stock a lot more.
Well, great. And so once again joining us today is John Bordnick, CEO of JBI Incorporated, which once again currently trades on the bulletin board. Ticker symbol is JBII, currently trading at $1.78 a share. So before we conclude, John, just to rehash, what do you believe are some of the key reasons that investors should consider JBI as a good long-term investment opportunity?
Well, that's easy. Our track record to date, our progress, our growth, our high innovation technologies that we have in-house, we gain customer and market acceptance quickly even with disruptive technologies, which is generally difficult. We've grown from 0 to 22 million in less than 6 months. We're working on uplist now. We have a proven track record of increasing shareholder value while decreasing the number of shares issued. Value-based management model, they know I don't get paid unless they get paid. Highly talented management team, profitable P2O. And really, plastic to oil is our home run. That's why.
Well, we certainly do look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on your future progress. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to update our investors on JBI today, John.
Thank you.